Welcome to the CEO's Secret Weapon podcast, and I'm your host and business coach to very high performance executives, Lewis Hayden. The CEO's Secret Weapon is the go-to podcast for business leaders and their teams, where we explore the world of human potential, specific strategies you can take, and the mindset of elite performers so that you can harness the same tools and achieve more of what's possible in your business and your life. So today, ladies and gents, we have a guest. Business coach, business owner, and most of all, my partner in business as well, Mr. Mark Eccles. He's here to tell us and talk to us around the real talk of what it really takes to get a business that works without you. So welcome to the show, Mark. How are you going?
Well, good, mate. Glad to be here. Nice to see you, mate. Good stuff.
Great stuff. Yeah, I mean, we've got Stuart, the other side of the world, that's going to be bringing on guests as well. We're doing more of these guests now because we work with some great people. So, yeah, we want to hear about your journey, Mark. Tell us about, you know, what you do as a business coach. Why did you become a business coach in the first place? What's the big change that you're going out there and you do all this stuff for? What makes you tick?
Okay, so for me, is it right to go back to the beginning, Lewis? Is that just so there's a starting point? Does that work
for you? Absolutely, mate. Tell your story. I mean, the more real you are on this podcast, the more value you can help people. So absolutely.
Okay. So I come from a world where at school I didn't really get on. Didn't really know why, but it didn't interest me. And I was really lucky to play about in physics one day. And the teacher kicked me out, and he kicked me out and said, go down to see Mr. Ashmore, the headmaster, and go and tell him that you've been a naughty boy, basically. So off I trot, and I thought, that's a result. I got out of physics. Went and saw Mr. Ashmore, and I found out in later life through Wealth Dynamics that I'm a deal maker, so I'm pretty good at communicating and getting people to do things. So Mr. Ashmore was just walking out of his office in his PE kit. And I went, Mr. Ashmore, I've been told to come and see you. And he said, I ain't got time for that. I'm going to go and train the first years in rugby. So I said, can I come with you? He said, follow me. And that was the start of my rugby career. And a few years later, climbing the ranks in the rugby world, started to learn all sorts of stuff and all sorts of great stuff about attitude and mindset and coaching and all of that. But the downside was I started to lose the passion for getting an education and not getting out of school what I should have done, if you like. So for me, being part of a team was always a big one for me. Having a great attitude, you know, having a great mindset, all that stuff was good, but didn't really have the education or the skill set to put it in or into practice. So left school, carried on with rugby. Back in them days, I'm an old git, Lewis, as you know, I'm 55 years old. Back then, it wasn't that professional game as it is today. It was sort of semi-professional. I kept waking up on a Monday morning battered and bruised. So I thought, I need to do something. My dad owned an electrical contracting firm. I managed to talk him into giving me an apprenticeship, and it's the best thing I've ever done and the worst thing I've ever done, all wrapped up in one.
The best thing and the worst thing. Go on, tell me more about that. There's got to be more behind that.
Yeah, so what was the best thing? He gave me structure and he gave me something to focus on, which is certainly what I needed, being a bit of a tearaway sort of late teenager at the time. but one thing that it also gave me is the understanding that if I was going to be a successful electrician, whatever that meant, I had to get up every day, go and trade time for money and get on that 40-year plan. And at about the age of 18, 19, I thought, what is that all about? Is that really what I'm on this planet for? I've got to get up, go work, come home, get up, go work, come home for 40-odd years, if I'm lucky, if I live that long, to end up living in a box, watching the box, waiting to die in a box. And it really did affect me. And it affected me so much that I started having the Monday Club. And anybody, any traders out there know what I mean by the Monday Club. The bloke that makes the excuses and don't turn up on a Monday. And then excuse itis set in and blaming set in. And I got injured at rugby at the weekend set in. So I was on a downward spiral and it wasn't working well for me. It really wasn't. Got to about 21, 22. And I was electrician qualified. God knows how I made it. God knows, my dad must have sacked me at least 40 times, I reckon. Went on my own. Started this subcontractor sort of subby type business where I was trading my time for money, running around, got busy, started to ask other people to help me. And that was the start of me becoming a business owner. That led over a few years into a place where one day I looked in the mirror and thought, how did I get there? How the hell did I end up here? I'm herding ducks of about 40 people, you know, running around, firefighting. I always say 90 hours a week and everyone just takes it that I'm exaggerating. That was the honest truth. Saturdays and Sundays and all week was just a normal week for me. We bought the house in Spain just so that the kids could remember my name is the honest answer back then. And I really, you know, it was crazy. It was absolutely crazy shit. So the world thought, at this point, the world thought I was becoming a success. And I was looking in the mirror as a complete and utter failure. And then my printer mate phoned me up and said, there's this network event. Do you want to come along? And I went, do I have to? I haven't got the time. we're meeting at 6:30 in the morning. I thought, really? And he's basically walked into this room with a load of plastic people talking complete and utter, you know what? And he sat me down next to a South African bloke. I introduced myself. He didn't take a lot of notice and sort of grunted at me. And that was the start of a relationship with a guy called Kent Rhodes. Two or three months later, we decided to join this group for whatever reason, and we started to have conversation. He turned around to me and said, you look a busy guy, Mark, and you always look knackered. Why is that? And I said, you know, I am busy. I've got a lot of mouths to feed. I'm running around doing this, that, and the other. And he said, do you think there's a different way? And I said, if there was, I'd rip your arm off. He said, great. Do you know what I do for a living? I said, not really. He said, I'm a business coach. And at that point, all the days of me being on the rugby pitch and being coached by some of the best people on the planet, it just occurred into the back of my subconscious mind, holy shit, there might be people out there that can actually help me through my business issues like they did with my rugby stuff. So it was enough for me to go along and have a chat. And that chat turned into something else. And to cut a story short, started to be my coach, started to see him on a regular week-to-week basis. And we just, in my language, two heads are better than one, dealt with each scenario that was before us, spoke it through, and dealt with it and moved up the ladder of getting my life and control and control back. Took about 2.5 years. It was horrendous.
What do you mean by control back, Mark? What do you mean get control back?
Well, for me, waking up on a Monday morning at 4:30 in the morning and getting home, if I was lucky, at 10:30, 11 o'clock at night was me thinking that I was successful. And Ken held the mirror up, a generalized principle here, you know, what we do as coaches, Lewis. And he just went, do you really think that is what success looks like? And at the time, I said, well, yeah, if you don't work for it, you don't get it, right? No one's going to knock your door down, right? That's where my head was. And, so gradually we started unpicking all of that. And I thought I was doing really, really well, to be fair. We managed to get some time back. Got the business a lot more profitable, started to employ some people that we truly deserved, you know, good people. And about 2 years in-ish, I think it was about two and a quarter years, 20 past seven in the evening on a Wednesday night, pouring down with rain in sunny old England, there was a knock at my door. And there was Kent Rhodes, looked like a bulldog chewing a wasp. And he didn't wait for a hello. He just grabbed hold of me by the throat, threw me up against the wall.
What?
my feet off the floor, you know, and I'm not a small fry, am I, you know? And he said, am I allowed to swear, Lewis?
You can swear. You can swear. We've been real talk. This is real talk. You can swear.
Are you wasting my fucking time and your fucking money, you moron?
Wow.
And I, for that second, started to understand what owning your own life was all about. And he literally held the mirror up to that place to actually stop me in my tracks. I'll be forever grateful.
Amazing.
So at that point, we either stay as friends, Mark, or from now, we get this shit done. And then 18 months later, I had a commercial profitable electrical business that works without me, that didn't need me in the business, and started giving lots of opportunities to lots of great people and started to grow the business without me. So that was sort of step one. Going into, and I won't go into that bit yet, but the next step of then dealing with you're not loved anymore and nobody wants you anymore, that's another section to go through. But yeah, I mean, that's me of getting to my business to that stage before I even considered about becoming a business coach, Lewis.
Yeah. Yeah. So nobody loves you, nobody needs you anymore. What do you mean, as in the business?
Well, I got to a point where my phone was ringing off the hook at 6 a.m. and 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
So the norm was I'm Superman. And I'm flying around the world with my Superman pants on, saving the day at every opportunity. And it was a habit that I got into that I didn't realise or recognise. And gradually, Kent says, you don't need to be Superman. The three key things in business, if you focus on great people and you focus on systems to support great people, and then you focus on the things that the systems and the people need, you're not needed anymore. And to go from 90 hours a week over a period of time down to an hour a month in a shareholders meeting, it knocked me bandy. So the success of the business was the right thing to do. But then for the first time in my life, I realized, hold on a minute, what's my identity here? And if you revert back to how we teach it, Lewis, you know, with the tools that we've got, that entrepreneurial ladder, I'd realised for the first time that when I first met Kent, I was probably sitting not even as a manager, but as an employed person in my business running around firefighting. I then gradually stepped up to that manager's level where I started to get rules of the game into place, accountability, targets, goals, blah, 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 so that people could actually start doing their job properly. And then they started to become the managers, which then kicked me back into that business owner box or CEO box or, you know, general manager box, whatever it was, to go, actually, if I can help managers manage and support them, challenge them and give them the systems that they need, then I don't need to be in this box no more. So then I went into the investor box of how do you invest into people, systems or things in other areas of my life. And to work so hard and then come to a, you don't need to do this anymore and the money's going to keep coming in whether you like it or not, was a massive struggle. So I had to really then understand where am I going to invest my time, energy and money next so that I could carry on my journeys, carry on climbing my mountain. And I see it a lot, you know, in the coaching sessions with all the different clients that we've got today, that you know, you hear the old Marshall Goldsmith, you know, what got you here won't get you there. But also, when we're climbing that mountain, is that mountain just a molehill on your journey? Or is it the mountain? And for me, you know, when I was so close to the coal face of it all,
yeah,
the only mountain that was in my, in my journey was my electrical business. Then once I started to get to the top of it, I thought, well, if this is the end of it, you know, I'd be lucky if I'm here in 2 years' time because I need something to do. And then I started to look further afield and where can I invest my time, energy and money to go to that next step? And thank God, over a little flippant conversation, Kent Rhodes said to me one day, you'd be really good at what I do.
What, grabbing people around the throat as business coaches?
I learned to do it in a slightly softer way, mate. But and I went, and bear in mind, this guy has helped me completely change my life, save my marriage, help my kids to realise that they've got a dad and help the dad realise they've got some kids because I had some awful scenarios and issues around that time because I was a workaholic because I didn't know anything different. For someone that I absolutely put on such a pedestal to say, I think you'd be good at this, it blew my mind and it then took me on to that next place. And that next place is probably the most amazing thing that I've ever done in my life. And I wake up every day pinching myself, knowing that I'll never be on that 40-year plan ever again. I'm not trading time for money. I just wake up every day and help good people go to great places. And if they want our services, they're asked for them. If they don't, I've helped them on their way to becoming great. And I love everything that I do today.
Yeah. Yeah. And you're referring to the business coaching, of course, there.
Yeah.
Is it referring to business coaching, mate? Or is there something, is business coaching just the vehicle? I mean, what is the real thing behind what makes Mark Eccles get up every day and be the great Mark Eccles he is?
I think if looking back, I lost probably 20 years of my life. And don't get me wrong, you know, we can look at this in different ways. So bear with me, guys, when I'm explaining it this way. I was on that roundabout for 20 years. And if I'd have stepped away from the roundabout and just worked on me being the person that I needed to be, and me doing the stuff that the business needed doing at the time, not just being sucked in, then that business would have been nailed 15 years earlier. So my passion in every conversation, including this one, is if there's anybody listening, don't do that shit. Don't do it. Let's get clear on, I've got a philosophy, inch by inch, life's a cinch, by the yard, it's effing hard. If we're sitting here and we're striving for big strides, you're never, ever going to move forward. But if it's all the little stuff, the compound effect stuff, great book, the compound stuff that gets you to that great place. All the times that I turned up with coaching sessions with Ken, that I hadn't done my homework, I hadn't taken the business forward. They were some of the best conversations I ever had, just for those little steps in my mindset. But getting really clear on who you need to be and working on it for 5 minutes a day if you've got no time, and getting up to 10 minutes a day and, you know, that sort of stuff. And then the right stuff being done in the right way, don't matter what the customer's throwing at you. Don't matter what the team's throwing at you. Don't matter what the finance director says. And them two key areas would have saved me 20 years of my life. So in my head, to turn that into a positive, I've taken that 20 years of learning and that hit to make sure that no other bugger does it. So every time I have a conversation, Lewis, when me and you started talking them years ago, it's always in the forefront of my mind. Is there something I can say? Is there something I can suggest? If there's something I can do, so Lewis hasn't got to do that.
Yeah, that's amazing.
So that's where the passion comes from and why I jump out of bed in the morning wanting to do what I do.
Yeah, and there's so many listeners that, you know, whether they are business owners, even managers, even employees that are listening to this podcast right now, that's such an inspirational journey, because it doesn't always have to be the entrepreneur or business owner that's doing this. That message that you got there of the do is the inch by inch.
Yeah.
And the who you're becoming, that be, or who you are, you know, never mind who you're becoming, who you are is what drives you through up that ladder, if the ladder is the choice. I mean, that e-ladder you referred to, by the way, is episode 2 that we did in this podcast. So any listeners can go back and listen to that with a bit more detail. But I just love, Mark, how a lot of my clients listen to this as well. And you can just hear the tools coming out. You know, I've brought the slides up in the past and taught them the tools. But what you've just gone through there is real life experience of how these things are applied actually in not just business, but life as well.
Yeah. And I don't, you know, the success of the firm that we've got today, and my God, our success has gone up a level, Lewis, with you joining us as well. And I'm not saying that because, you know, this is you and this is your audience. I'd be saying that if I was sitting in a restaurant talking to a restaurant owner about business, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But the reason why this stuff works, if you go all the way back down to, you know, the Napoleon Hills of this world and the Carnegies and the Brian Tracys and the Zig Ziglars and all that lot, you know, Jim Rohns, it's all about us being. I read something today in the book that I'm reading. We're human beings. We're not human doings. And it's little simple things like that I'll just stick on the wall to remind me, because we've all heard of the keep it simple, stupid approach. Thank God, to get ourselves in order and get the best out of ourselves and the best out of our business or the best out of our team, wherever you're sitting on your journey, is simple. Because if it wasn't, I'd be screwed, mate. I'd be screwed. And, you know, you've been in some of my sessions, Lewis. I'd always position, I'm never going to be an expert. Ever going to be an expert. I don't want to be an expert. X is a has-been and spurts a drip under pressure. Nobody wants one of them in your life. But I'm going to be a great bloke that can ask great questions, and between us, we can climb that mountain, whatever that's in front of us. And, you know, some of the success stories that we've had with clients, you know, you can be the most successful dustman, bin man. If it fits into your life, and you go to work with a smile on your face and you get a chance to have some quality time with your family and do the stuff that you want to do, that's what success means to you. You can be a successful lawyer that wants to have 11 partners on board and hit £30 million worth of turnover. It's whatever your success is. But if you're not climbing your ladder, if that's the ladder that you want to be on, to what you believe to be your success, then you're going to get to the top one day and look around and go, what the fuck am I doing here?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's where I was when Kent grabbed hold of me by the throat.
Mm. Amazing. Amazing. I like you that you said, you know, the keep it simple as well. It's just, you know, these are the reality checks of what happens in the day-to-day life of a business owner. And for my own business that runs without me now as well. You know, yeah. We have very similar stories, don't we? I mean, I haven't particularly gone into too much detail about my story on the CEO Secret Weapon podcast, but the clients that have worked with me know this story as well about my past. And I think that's why when me and you started talking, Mark, it's like, well, yeah, you're not just a great coach. You get it from the trenches of what it's like to go up and down in this roller coaster, this entrepreneur roller coaster. It's quite funny actually. When we first started this podcast, before I clicked record, I was like, Mark, so this podcast is the CEO Secret Weapon. And he was like, what the fuck's that about then? Why can't you make it more simple, make it about business owners? I'm like, yeah, okay. Yeah.
What's interesting in today's world, Lewis, is when you meet different people and they're CEOs and all that sort of stuff, it just, you know, and this is no disrespect to anybody, guys. We can have names and numbers. We can do whatever we want. The bottom line is, what are we responsible for? What are we prepared to own? What are we going to be held accountable for? And how are we going to mirror that to the people that we employ or part of our team or whatever it is? And if we put everything else to one side and we focus on that, we talk about the line of choice or the point of power, don't we, Lewis, with ownership, accountability, responsibility, and below the line is blame, excuse, and denial. How many organisations have me and you been a part of, had cups of tea and coffee around, and seen for ourselves that it's a blame culture?
Yes.
There's people making excuses. There's people, you know, in denial. They don't even understand that they're in denial. So as human beings, how can we own our shit, be accountable for our shit, and be responsible for it, but also pass that learning down to the people that we are responsible for? And as we start to teach and guide and mentor and coach the people in our teams to do the same, that then gives us freedom. That gives us free time, gives us focus on to work on and to be a better manager, a better ABC, whatever we call ourselves, or a business owner. And it's a critical path that so many people miss. So many people, how do we give ownership? How can we employ the superstars, you know, into our team and be there for them, not them be there for us?
Interesting. Be there for them, not them be there for us. It's been a lot about mindset shifts that you've talked about today. I mean, Stuart Walter, when he listens back to this, he's going to have a field day full of content to make, by the way, because he works with like mindset in athletes and CEOs. And this is just a perfect case study for him, mate. So, I can't wait for him to have a listen to this. But listeners, I hope you've got some value from today. You know, this is the real life story here of Mark, of how he's gone on his journey to be a coach now and help more people, and also the background of how he's got this business to start to work without him as well. And Mark, we go through the six steps, you know, mastery, going through to niche, going through to leverage, going through to teams, synergy, and then the results section. And I think what you're saying here is that this is real life evidence of this six step works, and you're doing it to go to that next level now. Well, you've gone the next level and beyond, up that next mountain of that results section. But do you feel that you've gone back to the start of step one again as you've gone into?
It's really, really interesting, Lewis. And, you know, if I'm ever having conversations with other coaches or doing any training or workshops for coaches, I'd always say, perhaps this is either my style or it's a suggestion to take on board for others, is vulnerability can be a massive strength.
Mm.
If you're vulnerable enough and understand yourself and comfortable with yourself. So that's all the mindset stuff. So if you look back over, you know, getting a business working without me in the electrical industry, working up that entrepreneurial ladder, investments, properties, investing in people, all the stuff that we've been doing over the last 10 years. And then the next step is a commercial profitable coaching enterprise that works without me.
Mm.
And you know the coaching world, Lewis. You know, you've been around the coaching world now for over 10 years, like I have. And the coaching world is full of a lot of great people.
Yeah.
Do great stuff. But how many people have joined forces so that it can work without them? How many are practicing what we preach in what we teach around teaching in our businesses to have a commercial profit enterprise that works without us? So a few years ago, when I shared that vision with you and said we will be the first commercial profit coach enterprise that completely works without us, what did I mean by that? And what I meant by that is, if Mark falls off a bridge or chooses to have no clients, this business works far better without Mark.
Mm-hmm.
And the bit that I love, you know, you coming on board and might make you blush a little bit here, is that you and the different coaches that we've got here, you can look at that six steps model that we work towards. And first of all, step one is, you know, to your listeners and to me, is if we become our number one client in everything that we do, then we will achieve. So getting that six steps to work for us is step one. Step two, if I then put that, and I've done that for my electrical business, step two, how do we then put that into the coaching business? Well, by the deal maker that I am, and also listening to and working with some great coaches around the world, we're now in a position where we've got a great coach that fulfills every one of those steps. So not only if a client comes on board with us, that we can guide them to go and speak to Lewis, because that's the key bit that you're working on right now, conversation. But more importantly, we get this business running perfectly without us by everybody taking a bite-sized chunk of the business and delivering it. Yeah. So learning to practice what we preach is what's then helping our success, and then helping those business owners and people in business and teams of people to follow suit.
And this is what's really exciting, Mark, that you just said that, because why does it have to be down to an individual coach to be the superstar that helps a business? I mean, the business isn't about the individual. It's about that entrepreneur becoming a leveraged person with all the great superstars in around them. So it's very similar to what you're saying here, is that a team of superstar coaches can accelerate a client's journey, you know, tenfold by just being open. But it's that mindset around it again, isn't it? You know, and there isn't many people out there, Mark, that have that mindset like you do, to be able to think, right, okay, if we can bring all these great people together, what could we do for a client? How is that going to help a client move forward? I mean, I've experienced this in my own firm. A big learning for me over the last couple of years is that I've brought in some of the best, not just coaches, but consultants. And they go, well, Lewis, but you're a business coach. And I'm like, yeah, the coach has that philosophy of having great coaches around him and consultants. Yeah. I have a lot of respect for consultants. I think consultants tend to have like a change in the name of how they're perceived lately. I think they're incredible. I want people to come and tell me what to do as well. So bringing in the best in operations, the best in finance, the best in marketing, the best in sales helps me as an entrepreneur and coach grow. So why can't we do that for more people out there as well? And I feel that this is what Action Coach Orsett and Dagenham, you know, your yeah. firm, and you know, we're all partners of these coaches, is massive benefit to people on their journey. Again, mate, this only comes from you sharing that vision with me. And I believe that's the same for the other coaches as well. They want to be a part of that.
If you look at that, you know, and to our listeners now, or sorry, to your listeners now.
Hey, your listeners too, mate. I'm sure they're listening to you right now and taking lots of notes.
You know, wherever we're sitting in our journey right now, we're at right now, guys, listening to this. Where are you on your mountain? Are you happy where you are? Are you having that that break, you know, and catching your breath? Are you ready to go again? Are you flying by the seat of your pants? Wherever you are, just take the moment to ask yourself the question, is this as good as it gets? If the answer's yes, then are you celebrating? Because one thing as human beings is we'd never celebrate our success, ever. And we should always be encouraged to do that.
I don't know, mate. You've got Aussie listeners as well, remember?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah.
Aussies are pretty good at celebrating. Even not, there's no success, they're still celebrating.
Yeah, just celebrating. Yeah. We won't talk about cricket because I have no bloody clue about cricket, so you've got nothing to worry about, guys, down there. But seriously, if you ask us a question and it says, yes, this is as good as it gets, what are we going to do with it? And then that takes you on your next journey. What are we going to do with that? If it's as good as it gets, what are we going to do with that? If you ask yourself the question, is this as good as it gets? And you look in the mirror and start crying or laughing, then what is the next step for you? And the next step for you is become your number one client. How can I get really clear? You know, one thing that we teach, another formula, that dream, how big is that dream? How clear are you on, you know, where you really want to be, where your family wants to be, what you want in your life? What do you want to share? Do you know anything, that sort of stuff? Your goals, How clear can you put a date on those things so you can start focusing to move forward? And then what do I need to learn to start achieving those goals so I can put a plan in place and get as many people as you can to help you? Two heads always better than one philosophy, so that you stick to the bloody thing. And if you stick to the plan and take action, you achieve all your goals and all your dreams. And it's so easy to be busy. And busyness is just a reflection of blame, excuse, and denial. That's all it is.
I think on that note, mate, we'll drop the mic. And brilliant. Yeah. Mate, I think that's where, as far as we need to go with this episode, to be honest. If we go any further, we'll just be diluting the value you've already given us. So, listeners, wow, okay. Here's some homework for you. If you had any homework then, Mark, what sort of homework would you give the listeners? Because we do an episode a week, you see. So they're going to wait around now, itching in their seats to go, right, okay, I need to get on with something before the next episode. So what's the one thing that you could share with them that would make a big difference, a turning point in their life?
Okay, so simple formula, always a go-to place of mine. The formula that we teach is be times do equals have. So if you're not getting what you want in your life right now, okay, or you're questioning what you do want, or you're looking to achieve more, or whatever it might be, whatever that is, go back to who are you being right now and what are you doing? And like me, I was doing 11 out of 10. Back in the day, I was going 400 miles an hour and I was 11 out of 10. I was constantly going. But my being was probably like 2 out of 10. And if you look at be times do equals have as a formula, if I was being 2 times 11 out of 10, which obviously we know is impossible, the best my results in my life are ever going to be is 22 out of 100. So what could you do from this conversation, guys, to start working on your be and start to tidy up and slow down your do? And how can you help your people in your organizations, your teams, in your business, or just the person that's looking back in your mirror to work harder on themselves than they do on their job? Jim Rohn thinking, so we can get that 22 up to a 52. And then you'll start achieving everything that you want in your life.
Amazing, mate. So there you go. Ladies and gents, there's a bit of homework. How would you rate your B right now? How would you rate your do right now out of 10? What does that equal towards having that have that you want? Are you even clear on that have? Because what's the point in doing the B and the do if the have's the wrong thing? Ladder up the right wall, right, Mark?
Yeah.
Ladder up the right wall. Okay. Plenty of notes. I think this is worth a few rewinds. So if you are listening in the car right now, go home, put it on again, have a listen through it, make lots of notes. Hey, look. 10 episodes from now, come back and listen to this again, because I think that Stuart's going to have some more stuff to put involved with this as well around mindset and things that he does too. And there's always going to be golden nuggets by listening to Mark's story over and over again. So thank you so much, Mark, for coming on. It's been the CEO's Secret Weapon, and we'd love to have you on again at some point as well, mate.
I think what would be a good idea, mate, if you want to take me up on it, is a little bit less about me and let's listen to a bit more about you.
And how about you interview me next time then?
That sounds like a great one. And guys, also, if the story rings true to you, you know, share your story. The more you share your story, the more you'll learn about yourself. So share your story as much as you can, guys. And there'll be loads of golden nuggets in there of how you can perform better, be better, or do better.